WBDG Indianapolis, Giant 90.9.
He was a Marine and then a state trooper. He's worked with some of the biggest movers and shakers in the history of the city. He's a man of faith and a dogged advocate for young people of all backgrounds. Since 2003, he's been an institution on the Westside Airwaves. Get your pen or your pad or your electronic device. School Talk has arrived. Now, here's your host, Emerson.
Take your seats and get ready. Take your seats and get ready. School Talk is in session.
Whoa, I like that trip intro. Can you do it again?
I'm just kidding. Don't do it again. Brianna Cooper.
Hi.
Is that your name?
Yeah, Brianna Cooper.
That is awesome, Brianna Cooper. You're also the editor of Spotlight.
I am. Yeah.
Wow.
You're doing some great stuff here. Yeah, she's awesome. Oh, get your seats and get ready. I got an awesome show today. You can get in if you want to. You can call 244-9234. That's 244-9234. SchoolTalk1@yahoo.com. Phone number. I got a delay system, so don't go crazy on me. 244-9234. 244-9234. You're a Giant 90.9. And welcome to School Talk. And my producers, always, the awesomeness. Brianna Cooper. And I got a guest. Good morning. Right. Okay. I got a guest in the studio, so I got my busy hat on. When it comes down to business and our kids, because I got the top dog. You can say that. Yeah, Superintendent Wayne Township School, Dr. Butts is my guest.
Good morning, Emerson. Brianna, how are you?
Got your pickup truck?
My pickup truck, actually, you know what? It is in my garage and loaded full of clothes to take to Life Church.
Okay.
For community members. We had a closet cleaning party the other day.
All right.
And so we're taking that over to Life Church. Great partner of the school district. They've really been working well with our other schools and giving a lot of support to our students and our parents. And, you know, we've got 250 different business partners and church partners and community partners in this township that just really work hard for our kids and work hard for our community. And that's what one of the things that makes this a great place is all of those partners that we have.
That's great. Well, folks, this pickup truck is an awesome pickup truck because I see it every morning when I walk across the street. He honked at me.
Well, you know, it's a 1989, and I'll tell you, so this is an old farm truck, and it's a family truck, one that I've driven since I didn't own it originally. It was a family member that I bought from, but it was a farm truck, and when I bought it, it was scratched up and dented and beat up and had all kinds of stuff, and I brought it over here to the Area 31 Collision Center, and I knew it was going to take a little time, but I asked Mr. Burdine if the students would be willing to take that truck, turn it in, make it look brand new. And I'll tell you what, those students at Area 31 in our career and technical program,
they
did an amazing job. It looks like new. It is a beautiful truck, and it's, you know, for me, it has a lot of sentimental value, and I was just really, really pleased that I could allow our students to get some of those real-world opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Area 31 Career and Technical Center is all about.
Mm-hmm. Those kids are awesome. And I've told folks a number of times, if you don't know what you want to do here at the high school, go to Area 31.
That's right.
I mean, they'll figure it out right there. So many trades.
Yep.
If you don't know what you want to do, you just go there and figure it out.
Well, and to that end, I know this wasn't a topic of ours that we're going to talk about, but, you know, one of the things that we're concerned about, Governor Pence and his roadmap for Indiana when he was running talked a lot about developing a skilled workforce and career and technical education was one of the pillars of that roadmap that he had. The problem that is happening right now and going through the General Assembly is there's a new funding formula that has been introduced for career and technical education, and one that actually will be very detrimental to the preparation of skilled workforce in our high schools.
Wow.
Yeah, for Wayne Township, by 2020, if this new formula goes into place, we lose 40% of our funding for the Area 31 Career and Technical Center. And the problem is we have lots of foundational classes, lots of classes that our ninth graders and our 10th graders can take to help them to know if they want to go into the Career and Technical Center and what they might want to do. So if we lose those foundational classes, all of a sudden we don't have that pipeline coming into the Area 31 Career and Technical Center, and we lose the opportunity to get students who are really excited about those fields to develop that skilled workforce. Emerson, I was up talking to some folks at the Chrysler transmission plants in Kokomo last October. And one of the things that they told me is they were having, between October and December, 500 brand new jobs for a skilled workforce.
Yeah.
The problem was they couldn't find 500 skilled workers to fill those. So we need to continue to focus on, we used to think that everybody had to go to college.
Right, right.
That's a pathway for a lot of our students, two-year, four-year college degrees and following those programs. And that's an avenue for a lot of our students, but not all.
That's so true. That's so true.
And so if we can continue to have those pathways, develop those skilled workers, get people out into the workforce, that's just going to make our economy stronger. And while our unemployment rate may be the lowest that it's been in a long time, they're not high-paying jobs. They're low-paying jobs. We have people working, but they're not getting over the poverty rate. They're not getting over and able to support their families. So we need to bring in high-skilled, high-paying jobs. We have them in Indiana. We just don't have skilled workers because we're at this point looking to take some money away from those training programs. So we're really advocating that we continue to have the funding for those foundational classes to drive kids into those career and technical fields.
Now, that don't make no sense, taking money away from that. What does make sense take a break.
Tonight, Ben Davis boys basketball travels to Carmel, and the tip-off is at 7:30 p.m. You can catch the coverage here on WBDG. And also tonight, the girls basketball, Carmel travels to Ben Davis. And there will be no coverage on WBDG because we're covering the boys' basketball game.
That's another conversation for another radio station.
The JV freshmen will start at 6 p.m. and varsity will start at 7:30 p.m. And again, that's tonight at Ben Davis. The Dr. Martin Luther King Expressions of Freedom contest is underway now, so be sure to see Mr. Smith in the main office for more information. The BD Lions Club Pancake and Sausage Breakfast will be held Saturday, February 14th from 8 to 11 a.m. at Ben Davis University High School. And for more community news, be sure to follow us on Twitter at WBDG or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/WBDGIndy. And now you can follow us on Instagram at WBDGIndy. That's been another issue of...
Sis, that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is just happening on this side and Area 31 happened on that side. But why can't some people who don't understand come walk through Ben Davis High School, walk through Area 31? You'll see it. Spend time talking to our young folks. You'll hear it. That don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
I'm still surprised how fast Brianna read that big board.
She's an editor.
I'll tell you what. Holy cow. That was good. Hey, so one of the things on the big board was the Dr. Martin Luther King Expressions of Freedom contest. And that reminds me that, you know, 50 years ago, and right now the movie Selma is out, and I know it's getting a lot of conversation, a lot of people. It's a really powerful movie and depicts a very important event or series of events in the civil rights movement during our history. And, you know, 50 years ago, because of that work of Dr. King and working with President Johnson, the Voters' Rights Act was signed into law. And so our students here at Ben Davis High School and Ben Davis University High School are celebrating that by really getting engaged in this civic process. Our students and our parents in Wayne Township have the opportunity to register to vote. That's one of the things the Voters' Rights Act, it allowed every single person to register to vote and to go to the polls and express their opinion, to express how they feel and to make a difference. People want to know, how do I make a difference? Go vote. Mm-hmm. Last primary, we had 7% of registered voters go to the primary. 7%. Now, that don't make no sense.
Yeah, that it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense.
Stupid. But I said it.
So
Emerson.
So our students are really working hard. Mrs. Singleton, Mr. Vetters here, and Mr. Geisel over at Ben Davis University High School are working hard to get our students to work with our public to get people registered. 50% of registered or eligible voters in Wayne Township are registered. Only 50%. We need to get those other 50% registered so they can go to the polls May 5th. Now the deadline is April 6th. Mm-hmm. So if you want to register to vote. And for our seniors in high school, our 12th graders, if you're going to be May 18 by May 5th, mm-hmm. but you're not when you register by April 6th, you just have to be 18 by May 5th in order to get registered. So make sure we get registered. You need to have the opportunity. You do have the opportunity. Dr. King, mm-hmm. President Johnson, 50 years ago, gave everybody the opportunity to go vote, express your opinion on the issues and the candidates that you're passionate about.
Exactly. I was 10 years old 50 years ago, so I lived through that era. But what gets me now... In this day and age, this is Emerson talking, is you complain about the politics, you complain about the world, but you don't vote. Mm-hmm. So, well, you're mad about everything, mm-hmm. but you don't vote. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, don't vote. You got no choice in the situation. You got no voice, and you don't. So don't waste this opportunity. It's awesome. I couldn't wait till my four daughters were all able to vote, and then they don't vote like. Well, I know they vote a certain way, but They don't let me influence their vote. They don't, which is kind of cool.
Well, you know,
they got their own mind.
Yeah, that's very interesting because I, you know, I grew up in a pretty one party family, mm-hmm. Generational one party, and heard a lot of the conversations growing up about how my parents felt. My parents never tell me how they voted, but I always understood the conversations that were right. going on in our house and with my grandparents. It's been interesting as I've gotten older and had the opportunity to really express my own opinions politically and with some of the issues that I feel passionate about. And you know, interestingly enough, I don't always align with my parents. I think fundamentally and you know, we believe in a lot of the same things, but you know, that's one of the great things. It's really a personal. You get into yes. that voting booth, and it's up to you. It's not about anybody else that you're around. It's not anybody else you work with. It's about you and what you believe. And if there's enough people that believe the same thing you do, we right. make a change.
Right.
And so, you know, I think it's a great process. It's one that is our constitutional right. Mm-hmm. It's our civic responsibility, and we need to make sure that we exercise it.
Now, talking about voting, and this is a huge one. In May, our district voters will decide whether to approve a referendum on here in Wayne Township Schools to raise some taxes to pay for our school system. I do understand that the last few years the township's been doing what it's supposed to do on what it had. But I knew back in 2010, I'm not having more data, laws changed, and I'm a homeowner. So I knew, I looked at my tax, how my taxes was paid. Mm-hmm. And at one time, I paid a lot of taxes towards the school system. And it made a lot of sense. You know, I have four kids, went through the system. And I understand that, you know, how taxpayer dollars pay for the education of our kids. But back in 2010, we started paying less. And I was saying, this is going to catch up to us. Some of that milk ain't white. You know, the school's got to get the money from somewhere, and well, it's time to pay up time.
Yeah, you know, Emerson, so this is really, if you look at all political subdivisions, and I was down at the State House testifying yesterday on a couple of bills. You know, my process or my position sometimes is a little bit more political than I ever thought it would be, but given that...
That's another question.
Yeah, given that I'm 15 minutes from the State House, I have the opportunity to go testify on some bills when they're important to our community. One of those yesterday was Senate Bill 517. That's Senator Young's bill. And also Senator Kinley has co-authored that bill. And really, it's about bringing some revenue back to the MSD of Wayne Township and also Wayne Township in general. It'll be a shift for us of about $1.9 million. And what it's doing is taking money from the current TIF. In 1993, we TIFed a large area of property here in Wayne Township, now known as the airport.
The airport.
That's right. And for those people who don't know, there's several different TIFs with the airport, but the TIF goes all the way to the north side of Covance, north of Rockville Road. So it's a very big TIFed area. And the purpose is to generate revenue at the time to generate revenue for the United Maintenance plant mm-hmm. that is currently being paid off. Now those bonds will be paid off here in just a couple of years. And what's supposed to happen with TIFs is once those are paid off, that money that was being used to pay for whatever that bond was, mm-hmm. then it's supposed to do what's known as a pass-through. So it goes back to the political subdivisions that are in that area. That's what a TIF is. It helps to generate economic development. It gives the business a little bit of a break while they're getting off the ground and getting these things going. But that TIF was designed for that United Maintenance facility. So this bill will actually make sure that money gets passed through.
Okay.
And that money will then increase the assessed valuation or the property value of all of Wayne Township. And we'll get some additional dollars there. But in the meantime, we've had a couple things happen. And you might remember in 2007, again, talking about voting, in 2007 and 2008, we had the opportunity to go to the polls, we as an electorate, and decide across the state if we wanted to cap our property taxes. It was called the Circuit Breaker Law. And in two consecutive cycles, we voted yes. We wanted that to become a constitutional amendment. It is now part of our Constitution that all property will be capped at 1% right. for your homestead, 2% for rental, and 3% for business. So the unintended consequence of that, of course, is that in districts like Wayne Township, not only did we cap property taxes, which started in 2009, and I'll tell you, our assessed valuation, our property value for all of the properties within the MSD of Wayne Township, not the school district, but all of the properties within our boundaries, was at $3.3 billion, with a B, in 2007. Today, we're at $2.4 billion. So we've had a pretty significant decrease. And in fact, this year we had a little bit of an increase, about 2.5%. So we were going down, down, down. We're up a little bit this year. So when you cap property taxes, so you say you can only get 1, 2, and 3%, and your property values go down, perfect storm. So since that, since 2009, we have had a $60 million reduction in revenue, which is has been tough. So what have we done? Well, you know, we've made some adjustments. We've cut back. We've hedged fuel and natural gas, and we've changed bus routes. And I know that was painful for some people to have to walk a little bit further to bus stops, and we changed when the elementary started, when the high school started. We saved $1.2 million on an annual basis just by doing that. That's out of a property tax account. We also are retrofitting all of our bulbs and fixtures here in the district to save $1.5 million annually on utility bills. We've reduced about 100 people, and you know that. I know. You tell me about it every time. But we reduced 100 positions in our district as part of that reduction to make sure that we could make budgets. So, you know, at some point, you make enough reductions. We've tried to really stay away from the classroom. We've tried to stay away from students as much as possible. And then you get to a point where you have to say, we either need to make more cuts or we need more revenue. And we're at the point now where we're saying, we need to ask our taxpayers, what do you want us to do?
Right.
And that's what the board did last Monday, is they gave our taxpayers the opportunity to say what they wanted us to do. We've heard from our strategic planning groups. We've heard from our community about the value of our schools and our community and the value of our community to our schools. But we need to have the taxpayers and the voting public say, yes, we want to support our schools, or no, we don't. What the MSD of Wayne Township is going for is an operating referendum. It's not to build buildings. It's not to renovate fields. It's not to do any of those kinds of things. It's to keep the resources that we have going in our classrooms today.
And you got to have that, too. I mean, it's weird. This is really, really, I'll call it a perfect storm, or just call it weird, because in my position, I'm a homeowner in Wayne Township. I pay taxes in Wayne Township. Former employee of Wayne Township, cut because of budget cuts. And I understand that I need to pay more taxes because the schools are not getting the money that they need to maintain quality teachers. I mean, we're doing it, but it's hard. It's hard. So I see it because I feel it and I live it and I breathe it every single day. And it's time is coming. It's going to have to happen. Our kids, and I love our kids. And the ones that graduate, when they come back and they see, or you see them on the street and see how well-mannered they are, or what they've done in college or after college, you know that it happened in high school, and you know the money was spent wisely. They're not in the criminal justice system. They're not in the juvenile system. They're not robbing people downtown. They're not fighting at the mall. They're the ones out there making the stories on Channel 8, Channel 6, 13, overseas in California. There are kids doing great things because they got it here at Ben Davis High School. That's what I'm talking about. Push the magic button. That's what I'm talking about. I was just talking to Rayvon Moody and John H. Boyd and Stephanie Robinson, all Ben Davis graduates, doing great things in media all over the United States of America. And I'm just purple proud. I tell you, boy, we got it right. And like, and don't get me started up in talking about Area 31 again, because I hate politics. I know I hate the word hate, but I hate politicians that say we ain't doing it. Come on, we'll show you how to do it. We'll show you how to spend the money right. We'll show you how to educate. Don't get me started, boy. Woo! Sorry, doctor.
You know, if you think about it, Emerson, our investment in our homes is probably the biggest investment that any of us make. And what's the first thing people ask about when they come into a community? What's the crime rate? What are the schools like?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so, especially for those folks who are saying, yeah, but I don't have children in school, because 77% of the people in Wayne Township do not have children in school.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty large percentage.
Wow.
But what happens with the school impacts us all. It impacts all of our property values. And so really, we're not only making an investment in the schools, but we're making an investment in our community. And there's lots of positive things that are happening now. I work very closely with Representative Carly Macer and Senator Young, Senator Delf, and our Chamber of Commerce President, Rick Proctor. And I'll tell you, Representative Macer and Rick Proctor with the Chamber have done absolutely amazing things with paving the way for economic development in the west side of Indianapolis and in Wayne Township. And I'm so very excited about some of the things that are coming up. And I know you've had Representative Macer on the show here.
Oh, yeah.
She's a true advocate for District 92 in Wayne Township and is doing some really special things for us that I think are really part of this bigger picture. Our letter grades are up as a school district, yep. and most of our schools, our graduation rate at some point is going to be released by the DOE, and that's going to be 94%. Yep. We have a national Title I school of distinction in Maplewood. There's just some really great things that are happening in our schools. And one of the things that all of our parents are going to be receiving, hopefully either today or early next week, is a request from me to get a hold of our legislators, because there's a big conversation going on right now down at the State House about what's called fairness in funding. It's one of the pillars of Governor Pence's education agenda for this 2015 119th General Assembly session. And what the conversation is around the per pupil amount that students or the districts receive. So mm-hmm. we have different groups of schools. We have small and rural schools, we have growing and suburban schools, and we have urban schools. Of course, we're an urban school, and I happen to be the president of the Indiana Urban Schools Association. I'm very proud to advocate for all of our urban schools, especially for the children that are here in Wayne Township. You know, 8 out of every 10 children, Emerson, 8 out of every 10 children in the MSD of Wayne Township is on free and reduced lunch. They are living in poverty. Yeah. And so it's incumbent upon us to make sure that our legislators understand that when we're talking about changing funding, when we're talking about the per pupil amount and that foundational piece, that we're talking about all children. Mm-hmm. We're talking about children that come from all different backgrounds, all different demographics, and we can't forget that our children, especially those who are living in poverty, 8 out of 10 children need our schools to provide some extra services. They need our schools to be there to help them to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, to have additional clothing, and whatever else may come to pass. But we serve our students well in Wayne Township. I'm very proud of the work that happens each and every day. I couldn't be more proud of our student organizations that are truly stepping up to be community minded and really are. The volunteerism here is just amazing. So we have, we just have a community here, and our folks are all working together for every single person. So we look at this thing called complexity index, and it's really what it is. It's a poverty adjustment. That's one mm-hmm. of the things that is currently in discussion. And, you know, the question down at the State House is, should students that qualify for free and reduced lunch get more money for school funding? Well, yes, the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. I did an analysis with an affluent district in the suburbs that is exactly the same size as us. And what I found when I put together the per pupil amount that we received in our general grant, the grant that the state gives us every year based on the number of students, and we both have the same foundational amount, but we get more in complexity index because we have 8 out of 10 children. They have 1 out of 10 children who is on free and reduced lunch.
Exactly.
And I looked at how much that we levy in property tax, the value of our properties here versus that affluent suburban district. Ours actually ranks 42nd out of 43 in Marion County and all of the contiguous counties.
Wow.
43 districts, ours is the 42nd lowest. Theirs is the third highest. So when we put those two together, instead of this big disparity that districts are saying exists between these growing and suburban schools, these affluent schools and the urban schools, it's $200. $200. It's not the thousands of dollars they're talking about. It's a $200 difference when we blend all those monies together. The problem is we operate in a fund-based accounting system, meaning that we can't shift funds between accounts in many cases. So yeah. Those districts can build beautiful facilities, have new additions, have all kinds of great
moving
stadiums and all that, but they can't put it into the classroom. So yeah. They can't add teachers because that money's over here in the mm-hmm. property tax section. So we need to find a way to be able to give some flexibility. If we're generating the same dollars, but we're doing it in different ways, shouldn't we be able to service our children in the
exactly.
same ways?
Exactly. It's almost like your own personal budget. You know, you budget your money for certain items, but when you're hurting over here, you need to apply more dollars to that category.
Yeah.
You know, we need that flexibility. One thing about the feeding our young people, and I'll say this because it's personal to me, if you're hungry, you hurt, you can't think.
Right.
It sounds so simple, sounds so basic, you know, but it affects your whole day. And I understand here at Ben Davis High School, our kids eat breakfast for free.
That's right.
I mean,
most of our schools across the district have what's known as universal free breakfast. Now, it's important to know that's a federally funded program. That's not taking money away from anything that we do in the district. It's not a cost to our taxpayers locally.
Mm-hmm.
That is a federally funded program that allows us to feed our children each and every day and we give snacks in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. and we do universal free lunch in many of our schools, and in some cases, we're now serving dinner. And those are all federally funded programs for our child nutrition department. And our Sarah Gazarowski, our director mm-hmm. there, does an amazing job with managing that program.
And bottom line, once, like I said, if you're hungry, you can't think. If you can't think, you can't learn. If you can't learn, then you can't be successful. And it's so simple. I don't understand why some folks just don't get it. Mm. And let's do what we do on the way, on the West Side, because we do it right. And I'm bragging, but it happens.
Well, many of us, some of our listeners have never been there. I'm one. You know, I've never lived in poverty myself. And while I've had hunger pains, I've never truly been hungry.
Right.
And I think for us. We took a group of individuals through the poverty circle simulation with the Julian Center. And while it was only a two-hour simulation, it was very powerful mm-hmm. for the people that were there. And I know the Chapelwood staff recently went through the same simulation as a building. We're working with some of our local groups here to create a poverty circle group to help those people who want to get out of, to break that cycle of poverty, mm-hmm. to have the resources and to truly get. It's a 18-month to 24-month process because it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
hard. It's a whole thought process shift. It's a whole resource shift. It's hard.
Speaking of process, speaking of hard, we got about 5 minutes left.
Yep.
I'm going to go right to your heart with this one. I don't even need any notes. How do you manage your position, education and politics? And a lot of times the politics are not really, in my own personal opinion, a lot of it is not positive towards education from certain politicians. But you got to manage this waters. How do you do this?
Well, yeah, it's challenging and it's time consuming. And there's all different kinds of politics. So you have the politics where we know who we've elected and we know who's down at the state house. Then we have our local politics. Sometimes people that are in leadership positions, and sometimes you have people that are just leaders that are in the community that aren't necessarily in that political process. And then you have different governmental agencies you work with. Being one of 11 townships in Indianapolis, and also having two towns in Beech Grove and Speedway, lots of different dynamics that go on, and the mayor is trying to run a city, but he also has these other entities that are going on. So as a school district, my job politically is to make sure that we're advocating for our children. And so I've always believed that if we keep the conversation about our children, that we can never go wrong. If we keep our decisions about what's best for children, we can never go wrong. And so when I have conversations with our legislators, when I have conversations with leaders in our community, the conversation's about what's best for our children.
Mm-hmm.
And our children only have one chance to go through school. We're going to be here for a while.
Right.
I can have a do-over next year, maybe, if the board allows me. But our children get one chance at their schooling. So we have to make sure that they have the very best chance and that we are continuing to focus on setting up all kinds of opportunities for them to be successful. And that's really what. So when I talked to Representative Macer, we had the third house forum, a legislative forum last week mm-hmm. in the Little Theater, and very well attended. I was pleased with 127 people that came. Lots of great questions. We ran out of time. It was a 2-hour block. We probably needed four, but it was a great opportunity for our community to see their legislator if they haven't had a chance to. Not everybody can get down to the state house. Not mm-hmm. everybody can get to their community meetings, but. It's important to keep those open. And I think you heard a couple times the people that were there that I had met with each one of them individually. And I think that's important. It's important for me to keep communication lines open with our elected officials. I may not agree mm-hmm. with what they're saying, or I may not agree with what they believe. But my job is to make sure they have the information to make the best decision they can.
Right, right.
And if I don't give them that information, then they can't make that informed decision. They're making a decision based on what they know. So I need to make sure that they have real facts, real data, not opinions are great, but I need to show them the data. And then they can make the best decision that they want. And if our voters don't like it, if our taxpayers don't like it, if our community doesn't like it,
mm-hmm.
guess what? May 5th, they get a chance to make that decision. November, they get a chance to make a decision. And that's really what going back to the importance of the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act. We have an opportunity to make those decisions, and we need to be engaged.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I wanted to talk about because, folks, I want you to understand that you folks listening out there in the radio world, you have a role to play in this because I do wonder how Dr. Butch deals with these some of these people because I don't know where they get their information from, you know. And I'm so thankful they get the information right from him from Wayne Township because I've seen so much in the news last few days. I'm wondering where these people's heads are at, and I can't go into that now like I want to. It just don't make no sense sometimes.
Well, there's over 1,200 bills in the House and the Senate. I just one of the things I struggle with and I can't believe is, do we have 1,200 things we need to change?
I know
this year.
And then, I mean,
I don't get it.
It don't make no sense. So, folks, you got to get involved in this. You know, they got committee hearings and meetings downtown. Talk to your legislator. Talk to your superintendent. You know, talk to your principals. You know, get out there. Stay involved with your young people. Because if you stay on the sideline, not do nothing, you'll accept anything. And our kids are worth more than that. And I've seen the product of Ben Davis High School. You know, I've seen the product of a good high school education. I've seen kids come through here, and I see them what they're doing now in the business world, and as Dr. Buzz is just awesome.
It's amazing. We need to get more people into our schoolhouse, and that's one of the things I talk to our legislators about as well. We've got Andre Carson who's coming. Congressman Carson's going to be here in a couple weeks. We have Senator Bayh who's coming in a couple weeks. We're trying to get Senator Donnelly in. These are folks that on the national level also need to get in and see what's happening here in Wayne Township, and we're working on getting them into our schoolhouse to talk to our children. Our local elected officials, statewide and citywide, we really need to get them in. Governor Pence has been here, Mayor Ballard's been here, Representative Macer, and you know those are we're trying to get them in. And because when they see what happens here, we can talk about it all the time, but when they see what happens here, they are amazed. And so we don't want to be a well-kept secret. We want to get it out there. We want people to see what happens in our schoolhouses. We want people to see that you can walk down the hallway and you're okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think you walk down the hallway of a large comprehensive high school and it's unsafe. It's not unsafe.
No.
Our kids are saying hi and hello, and you know they're absolutely amazing individuals walking our hallways each and every day doing incredible things in our classrooms. And we've said this all along, Emerson, the quality and the real value of our schools are the people that are working with our children each and every day. We have amazing adults in our classrooms, in our cafeterias, in our buses, working throughout the district that are truly serving our kids. And that's what makes this a special place. And that's why I'm so passionate about making sure that people understand the value of this school district to the community and what we're doing and why it's important to have people.
You're doing it right because we got some kids don't want to go home. I'm serious. They love school because this is their hub. This is their hub. This is their basis for their day. Not home, school. And that's awesome. Dr. Buss, we appreciate everything you're doing for us as taxpayers. And I'm a grandfather. I got a grandson over here at the 7th, 8th grade center now. So I still got kids in the township. Love it. Keep doing what you're doing. I support you. And, folks, if you don't, you got me to deal with. Thank you very much, sir.
Hey, thank you, Emerson.
Like he said, folks, you know, the focus is our students, and that's where the focus should be. So I'm going to send one student to the class. Bree, time to go to class. To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and others. But to give out what's going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat. Just copy the right cat like Dr. Butch. You can't go wrong. Superintendent Wayne Township got it going on. We know we're doing good because we live in the hood and it's the west side. It's the best side.
Emerson.
I'm sorry, sir.
Don't forget to pull up your pants.
That's right. And I can't stand it. You already know. The views express the school start. Let's say the views. MT Wayne Township, Benjamin High School, Giant 90.9. Then my superintendent views and then my views. See you next week on School Talk. Thank you, Dr. Butch.